Sounds like it would be really a lot of work to do it ideally as you would with basically every line item that you could possibly put your hands on. But you could maybe, if you can back into it the other way and say, what's going to be saved if we consolidate in whatever fashion you have in mind, and just dollarize those savings and not try to build a county-wide spreadsheet for every salary.
Sure,
yeah. Because that sounds like a lot of work to me. But I think if you said, okay, what we could see is organizationally, this position might not have to be done here.
Yeah.
How much is that worth? And
yeah.
Just collect the savings, because for what you're doing is really going to be pretty rough anyway.
Yeah.
You have kind of a round figure at best.
Hopefully we can get lower than 50,000, but we're not going to get down to 300. You know, if we can get to the 15,000 foot level, then we could probably.
You might find a differential analysis be easier to do than a complete ground up, you know, zero-based budget for all agencies as if they were one or something.
I'll be honest with you, they're actually very simple budgets.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really not complicated at all. I mean, to be honest with you, having 300 operations across the country with identical expenses and so forth and managing every one of those budgets, this is actually pretty simple, and the income side is very simple because of the taxation side of it. You know, their fee for service is very simple as well.
It's not the revenue side that I'm worried about.
and the expense side, I mean, we're not talking about that many units or that many people. I mean, it's really not a steep exercise.
It's really a question of whether you can get an Excel spreadsheet of the detail that you want.
Yeah, and I think I can. Looking at the line items, I think I can. It's going to be just more interpolation between one agency and another agency. What are they categorizing? So if I can carve out administrative to know what the administrative overhead is, because that's usually lots of times where you're going to get, you know, hopefully your significant stakes in a merger acquisition is on your administrative side. And then, you know, your operational side, if there's some value of savings there because of consolidation. Here, there's just, you know, unfortunately, there's not, they're not big, so there's probably not a lot that's going to be there. But then maybe there doesn't have to be a couple hundred thousand, it's a huge amount.
Well, it'd be interesting to do that exercise because what Scott was talking about is having 24/7 coverage with a firefighter paramedic mm-hmm. and a firefighter EMT on staff.
Right.
I think you have the current staffing here between EMS with their paramedics and the fire department with their EMTs to potentially have that already in existence with the two staffs. And you could change the model significantly and there may be some savings, even on the operations side.
Well, they're doing the same call volume at, you know, two-thirds. There's got to be some savings.
Yeah. And you can argue for benefit beyond the savings. Some things that I think you can say even if it didn't save a lot of money.
could be worth doing. We had Chief Burton, Sullivan, and Scott, all three concurred that the medics, EMT, should be in-house. All three of those guys concurred. Folks have been talking to the mainland and saying the same thing. You know, like, why are they outside of town when you have that many calls inside of town? Would it be helpful to get some budgets from Skagit or Bellingham? It's very different over there, so I don't know if it would be helpful.
Only from maybe like salary comparisons or from, you know, expenses that they might have that would be out of differential than here. Taking into consideration that, you know, everything has to be barged in, so we're probably going to have a higher value of dollars than what. So I think let's take a first run at what at least like, even if they're on a different rock, it's like. And so let's see if we can kind of get that together, and then, you know, we can maybe take a look at and see what, at least for a run at like Mount Vernon or like you say, Skagit or Bellingham, something that's close by, yeah, we can take a look at that. again, just having one organization that's only 2/3 of the expenses of a combined that's doing the same volume, right away says that there has to be something in there that I'm either missing,
right?
You know, or that there's something in there.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be tremendous. Going back to your point, though, Mark, do we want to figure out who's going to do the outreach? The point, Dan, can you kind of drive that train?
I can. Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah, good start. We've done quite a bit so far.
You got to include me in there because I need to make a contact too. So.
So I'll keep you two in that loop.
Yeah, and if you could, we could agree on some meeting dates where we can just say we're going to meet like next Thursday at whatever time to get together and share what we have found. And it'd be nice to put it together and have one set of information instead of getting bits and pieces from this is what this person said, that's what this person said kind of a thing. So I mean, I'm just throwing out, it'd be nice to have some scheduled dates before we leave here tonight, just so it's clear that we're going to have all this in place prior to our next meeting.
Great, okay, so when we're finished, maybe we can just huddle and we'll go to calendar check. That'd be great. And then George and I have a plan to do our good. Excellent. So we basically talked about review of budgets. And then I wanted to see if we're at a point in time where we can just kind of check in and see kind of where we are, because as we're starting to approach a time where maybe we could start to assemble a report and come up with recommendations, I'm wondering if now's a good time for us to start to talk about what we're thinking, and then maybe that helps us narrow our focus a little bit and helps us kind of get to the finish line.
I would agree.
Excellent. You know, I just to start, I think one of the things I'm finding interesting in this process, as we've heard different speakers, and we've had some great speakers, and I think it's been really helpful to us in the presentations that we've had, is my concern going forward is I feel like there's, and this is not a criticism of us or a criticism of the other elected officials for the agencies, but in some ways I keep feeling like we're having this discussion a little backwards. And it's just, if I wanted to try to do this, if we were starting from ground zero and we didn't have any political baggage, ideally if I wanted to figure out a way to potentially consolidate services or to expand services or to remove some services for that matter, I think I'd want to try to go out to the community and start a community-based discussion about, listen, here's the services we have today. This is the services that you could have. This is how much it would cost to pay for those services and what we would have to do to get there. And so what do you, the community, want to see? And it's a question not just for today, but one of the things that's come up, I think, in our discussions, and the thing that I worry about is the sustainability of these services going forward, financially and just functionally. So in some ways, I think for me, the idea of consolidating is a great idea, and it's something that we ought to consider, but I think it's also something I think that, you know, we really ought to be lobbying for at some point, regardless of where we get to and what we decide to do, of talking to our bodies and urging them to look forward and think about a community engagement process. And let's get the community involved, because otherwise we'll come back with a recommendation, then somebody's going to have to try to implement that or use that recommendation to try to drive something. And the community is kind of lagging behind that. I'd rather see the community kind of helping drive the discussion and say, okay, this is what you guys want, this is what it's going to cost. Mechanically, this is how we have to do it. So you should be prepared that you're going to be voting on 2 or 3 levies, you're going to be undoing some borders, you're going to be recreating new borders, but that's what you guys said that you want, and that's what we're going to do, and here's how we're going to do it. That's sort of my, that's my angsty.
Clearly, we need to keep a tighter box around what we're going to do as a committee to the charge that we've been given, rather than doing the job of each of the boards, of each of the districts that are involved, as well as the county or the town council. I mean, we can't do everybody's job. What we need to do is what we were asked to do. But I fully agree that whatever we recommend has to keep in mind those opportunities that are presented that will come up if they actually do what you suggest, and I certainly think they should. So if the goal is to say what's going to facilitate improvement of service once they have that community discussion that I think I fully agree they should be having, we're not going to have that discussion this body, but the electeds should. And you know, we can just say we're going to pave the way for facilitating whatever the limitations you're going to take when the time comes for you to say to your constituents, here's what we're thinking. For us, that means, and this is where I'm going with that, is if we can, you know, annex the town into the fire district and say that's done, that needs to be done to lay the groundwork for EMS being one with the fire district and covering all of the island. Future down the road, that also allows for a regional fire authority or whatever it is that will cover all the islands, because then they'll have all the same model on each of the islands of a fire EMS system. You know, things like that. We can explain the logic for the first couple of steps, but we're only going to recommend the first couple of steps.
Right.
Anything they choose to do to change services or reorganize beyond that is up to them. Ultimately, whichever agency ends up carrying the bag here.
So Chuck, I mean, are you getting at that the board should be going out and having discussions, which I agree they should be, about level of service? That, I think, is something that both the hospital district board and the and the fire department board should be doing. There's that's where the community sets the expectation of what we want and what it's going to cost. And then you do lay that groundwork for your levy, so on and so forth. This is a little bit different. This is where you had at least a member of EMS, the chief, going to the hospital district board and saying, you should contract with the fire district because it makes financial sense and so on and so forth. You had at least one member of the fire district commission saying, we should look at combining and doing regional fire authority. It's and so they're asking different questions. They're not asking about level of service. They're asking about combining two districts and this is where it gets into a little bit of level of service. So it does get into that question, but they're talking about combining these two districts to address what you have, some people saying is an essential need, that it only makes sense to combine these two things to meet the needs of the community. And we've heard from a fire chief who's also who runs a combined department saying it's a model he believes in. We've heard from the medical control officer and the current emergency room physician saying this is only makes sense. We heard from the EMS chief, I know he's on the interim status, saying this is what makes sense. And so I'm not sure what else we would gain. I mean, I agree that the community should be involved with level of service, and those gives in discussion on how much you're going to levy, how much you're going to do. Do we want 24/7 coverage or not? What's the expectation? Are you okay waiting for 45 minutes for people for a response? Those are all questions when it comes down to the budget and those kind of things, and that is an important discussion. This is a little bit different in my mind. This is about what appears to be one agency saying we're floundering. We don't have the money to sustain our needs, and they can do it for a little while, but they're not going to be able to long term. They don't have capital funding, and feeling like service would improve if they combine and merge into what they were in the past. And that's what we're advising on. We might say, you know what, don't merge, you know, figure it out. And maybe you're right. Maybe that other question should have came first. What level of services committee want from EMS? But that didn't happen.
Yeah, that's not the charge.
That's not the charge.
That's my point.
And I think, like Lawrence said, and I feel the same, like time is of the essence at this point. I feel if we get in a public discussion, this may
that'll drag out.
Take another 6 months.
Minimum.
How accurate will, I would love to. absolutely love that idea.
Yeah, and the only reason I bring it up and what bothers me the most is the conversations I'm having with community members. And the conversation I have with community members is there's not a perception that there is a problem. And it's interesting because if you start to drive that a little bit and you start to get into levels of service, then I would be really concerned if I knew that, but I don't really feel like that's what's happening. Interesting.
I would suggest we postulate not trying to decide on levels of service and changes of levels of service. But since we are making recommendations to certain agencies, that we recommend that they do studies and community discussion and whatever else is needed to determine those levels of service on their own, separate from what we're doing, because that is one of our charges, is make a recommendation.
Yeah, I think.
And I think we make several recommendations, and that can certainly be one of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's more to the point. It's not to take us in a different direction. It's to answer the base question that we've been given, but I think we do have an opportunity to potentially lay out a couple of
sure.
points behind it, not just that.
I think we can also do a long-term thing and say this is ultimately what we think you should do, but for now, what we're recommending is this, and that will allow you to get there if you want to later on, but that's going to be your call. You
right.
guys decide. Just like we can say, if you may have to raise the living rate or something, that's to meet the level of service needs that you're going to determine in a discussion that we're not party to right now.
Right. That's better said.
I think if we can do that, we can keep it in the box. Otherwise, we're just going to spend like 6 months of a year. I don't know how many years trying to figure it out.
Well, no. I would see it, and Rick, I mean, you want to jump in, but I mean that's a pretty big effort, and that would take a big commitment from each of those elected bodies mm-hmm. to commit the resources to do it properly. I mean, if you want to get to an answer, you better do it properly.
Yeah, because we've all discussed this a lot, too. I would like to have, as part of our report, working towards a potential RFA. The entire county, this is disaster, coordinated disaster relief. It's got to be more efficient. People I've been talking to in the mainland saying, why aren't you going towards that? That's where you should be. It's not going to happen in 5 years, but we can set the frame.
That's right.
And make recommendations.
Pave the steps as you letting it happen when it happens.
Yeah.
If it had. No bets.
Well, I'm having Chuck's same issues.
Boy, I feel bad for you.
And it's kind of like, you know, chicken and egg, horse wagon. You know, which one comes first? I mean, as a citizens advisory group and listening, it's kind of so... Because at the end of the day, here's my real struggle. I'm not certain the fire department wants it. I'm not certain why EMS is saying go. And so they're asking to do something that I'm not getting any warm and fuzzies from anything about how I recommend something. And if I would really recommend it, it would be a, you know, baseline ground up saying, just like Chuck said, what is the ideal? Which may not have anything to do with merging EMS and fire. So with that, I feel like if somebody's going to say, okay, well, all you could do is just look at EMS and the fire. I mean, the idea is, do I even say stand alone? Go back and do your own thing. Because I think financially they could live on their own and do very well based if they just made financial decisions based on data and good input as opposed to, quite frankly, just what I heard this evening of gut reaction. So if they did that, I would think they could go on indefinitely. So, you know, where do I go? That's what, I mean, I don't know how you feel. I don't know how you feel about this thing. And then I don't know at the end of the day whether the fire department really wants it. And at what level do they really want it, other than us making a recommendation that says, yeah, it'd be great to go to you guys.
I think that needs to be driven by that long-term vision of what is the right thing down the road. One of the things you'll hear from the chiefs and we have already is you know, good people will make it work. You know, if they don't want to make it work, they won't make it work. So, you know, you can't really count on somebody who's going to fight you being the reason not to do it. If the real answer is you really need to be consolidated for these other reasons, we're talking about organizations, not the individuals in it. So if we're not getting the warm and fuzzies, then we should have people in there who become warm and fuzzy with this idea, if it's the better idea. That's
are
my
you,
attitude.
Yeah, are you afraid, I mean, you're talking the warm and fuzzies from commissioner level. Warm and fuzzies, the ones that are making the decision whether they're going to consider it or not.
They're the ones making the decisions.
Yep.
You know, they're the elected official, mm-hmm. so in theory they're making decisions based on the electorate that got them there. And so, you know, hopefully they're making good decisions. But at the end of the day, they're, you know, the eight individuals that are going to have to make that decision, of which six of them change in a year, you know, so.
Which is another reason not to rely on the feelings of the current occupants of the chair on those commissions.
No, but that's what's driving us right now. Well, again, I go back to the fundamental, why are we doing this? Because the charge really was not clear to me other than see if it works putting them together.
Well, you're absolutely right. We could create a new silo and have an EMS district. I really don't think that was what the long-term strategy that makes the most sense for organizing emergency services in this county looks like. So I'd rather, again, start with what do you think the long-term best look
yeah, I'm not.
Is.
I'm not suggesting starting something new. I'm
well,
just saying
exactly. I mean,
it's living underneath the hospital district now.
Really?
Well.
Yeah, but yes, it is. That's true.
It's there now.
Mm-hmm.
And should it stay there? Should it go to fire? I mean, that's where I'm struggling right now, because nobody's saying, geez, we really want it, or no, you guys really should. You know, there's no, it's just kind of like, So that's where I then am saying, okay, so then is there a foundation that something else needs to be built on? That's why I've got some of Chuck's same feeling. So I'm interested to hear where you guys think it ought to go.
I can tell you that I've had conversations with, not about this, but it came to this, with the three fire district commissioners at a different event, and all three of them asked, when are you guys coming out with your recommendations? We want to see your recommendations. Now, they didn't come out and say, we don't want your recommendation, we really don't want EMS. I know they were in a public meeting where they talked about it, and two of them expressed severe reservations with the whole topic, and I don't know if they've changed that, but in this particular case, they were saying they're looking forward to our recommendation. So they didn't say, you know, we don't give a crap about your recommendation, do whatever you want. It was totally different than that. And so I don't know if they've had a change of heart. I don't know if they've thought about it. I have no idea. But my impression is that they really wanted to see our recommendation. They'll do whatever they want with it.
So, as Chuck said, I'm interested to start to see what our recommendations are.
I have a gut instinct that I don't want to take care of. I have a backtrack on this. I've had one fire commissioner tell me that he doesn't want to take somebody else's burden because they messed up with their budget. He doesn't want to take over their mess until it's cleaned up. And I looked at certain budgets and I kind of watched the situation and see. You know, there's some fundamental problems. This simple picture, snapshot is this orchestra. The same amount of dollars, look, the same amount of calls, look at the budget difference. It's much more efficient. The calls, cost per call ratio, which is obviously different on the mainland, but it's complete, it's out, it's way out there. It's not even close. To me, it seems like the first thing you gotta do is fix the leadership and the budget of EMS and the entire system. You can't just say, it's going to go under fire, and collect a little bit more money, everything's okay. I do agree that in the long term, I think it probably should be under fire. I like the idea of the county coordinating, RFA, and everybody's together on this. That's where we should be heading. That's not going to happen in the next 5 years, you know, but we should head that way. But I hate to move forward and just say, let's go fire, because we can get some more tax money and take care of the problems. We need to fix the problems first. That's kind of my gut feeling on these things.
You know, Dan, and going to what you said too, I mean, I think it would be very difficult without resolving some of the financial struggles that EMS has right now to just say we're just going to shift this part of the organization over to another agency,
right,
and then ask people to start paying for it. I mean, I think that fundamentally has to be repaired,
right,
before you can go and say now.
It'd be hard sell.
Yeah, I think it'd be very difficult. So I don't know that actually.
Yeah, I think it's true that what we're talking about doing is organizational change in oversight for EMS mostly. And that isn't going to fix the problems if everybody below the commission level is still doing the same thing and spending the money as fast as they have been in the past and giving what services they've always done. So there's two kind of things at play here. One is to change oversight for reasons that might have other benefits, maybe down the road, and fix the problems that we might be able to, you know, shine a light on right here and say, yeah, the new leadership is coming in. And here's what they're going to have to deal with. It doesn't matter whether they're under this commission or that commission. They're going to have to deal with it. And we have to make clear that that isn't going to get solved by just moving the bodies from this side of the room to that side of the room. So it's more than that. But there might be a good reason for them to all go over there. That's nothing to do with, you know, saving the budget or whatever it is that they currently have an issue with. So let's try to think about ideally what is the right model and why, and then maybe it's years to get there. The first 2 years being clean up the finances and get more efficient, make it run as it can, we think, however that works. Because most of the changes operationally can be done regardless of which commissioners they actually employ to. They're kind of orthogonal questions in a way, operations versus oversight.
So where I'm at is I always start with what would, if you had a blank slate, how would you start it all out? And I think for efficiency's sake, you would have a regional fire authority and you would have it across the county. That has a lot of challenges trying to provide service on all the islands, and they all are all different. And even if they're not, they'll think they are different because we have water that separates us. And there's a lot of challenges with that, but I think it makes a lot of sense. I think it's crazy that we have, what, four school districts. We have three hospital districts. We have five different fire EMS districts in a county of 16,000 people.
Five post offices.
Yeah. It makes absolutely no sense. Yeah, it makes absolutely no sense. But that's what we have. And that would take a significant cultural change. But I think that's, if you were to start all over again and say, what do these islands need, that's where you would go, in my opinion. I wouldn't necessarily do it for financial savings, the merger. I think that there are certain things that would improve as far as response, as part of training, if you had a combined organization. I think there are a lot of other benefits that have nothing to do with the finance. I think that you can clean up the finances. And I think that has been said here multiple times, it's going to take a strong leader and it's going to take a champion to make it happen. But I think those things are important and should be looked at. It may mean that certain people have to go. There are issues and would be morale issues and everything else. And at some point you have to say, you know what, if it this is, doesn't working for you, there's the door, and there'd be other people that would take their spots, and that's not an easy thing to do, and that takes some strong leadership. But I think from a you want to talk about from a scene safety training issue, whatnot. You heard a little bit of it from Michael Sullivan. You heard it from Brad as well. They for years have said we need to train together because we respond to car wrecks together. No matter who the chief's in there, we for every reason can't train together. We run multiple calls together. And we don't run the same ICS structure or system. It's interesting where you have EMS saying they're in command, and when we arrive, it's like, where's command? You don't see them. And so then fire takes command. Now you have two commands on scene, and it makes no sense. So I think, honestly, I think we've been lucky I think that we've been lucky on some car scenes where we haven't had some responder injuries. And, you know, I think most of the community doesn't even see it, doesn't recognize it, doesn't even know it's even happening. And I think he can gain a lot of efficiencies there. So I'm leaning towards having them merge with that long-range picture, not necessarily for financial efficiencies, but for some of the other structural things that I think can be improved significantly.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I agree with Dan with your comments about I hate to just shift liabilities to another organization and dump some of those liabilities on them. I'd like to see some of those issues cleaned up. But functionally, at the end of the day, I mean, I think the idea of consolidated fire EMS service is really important. I mean, I think that we've heard enough about it here, and I think maybe even intrinsically know that would be a much better, for a whole host of reasons, way to go. So, but I definitely would like to use the opportunity for us as we're putting this together to help some of the framework of saying that we really ought to be looking at future sustainability issues and how we address them financially, you know, and make those recommendations, and it's up to those agencies what they want to do from it from there.